Hello, 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 and welcome to this edition of A Quick Pint. Now, today I would like to talk about quite an interesting phenomenon in the world of fertility problems. One in seven people have fertility problems, and a fertility problem is defined as not being able to get pregnant after 12 months of regular unprotected sex. One in seven people have this problem, and increasingly, if they have this problem, they resort to artificial technology, IVF, whatever, that sort of thing, in order to get pregnant. And it's been estimated that between 1 and 6% of births per year by 2020 in developed countries are via IVF. But there's an interesting thing whereby you would think, well, if you have fertility problems, then well, you have fertility problems. So you have IVF for the first child, and if you want to have a second child or a third child, you'll need to have IVF again. It's very expensive. It's about £5,000 per cycle, and it's very stressful and very unpleasant. But no, there is evidence from a new paper that about 20% of women who have IVF for their first child are able to have their second child, and indeed all subsequent children, naturally. And I know a number of cases of people I know personally who they had fertility problems. They required IVF to have their first child and then the second child, and indeed in one case, a woman I know, she had many, many more children, all conceived naturally, but it was only the first child that required IVF. So it's almost like having IVF somehow reduces your infertility and means that you can become pregnant naturally with all subsequent children, at least in about 20% of cases. Now, I thought this was quite interesting, and there's a paper that's just been published on. It was published on the 20th of June, called How Common is Natural Conception in Women Who Have Had a Live Birth on Assisted Reproductive Technology, by Annette Thwaites et al. In the journal Human Reproduction. And so I thought I'd have a look at that. That's very, very interesting. So what they found is, say, 20% of women of IVF for the first child could get pregnant naturally in the future. And they conducted a meta-analysis of 11 studies on this that had taken, of 5,000 women, that had taken place between 1980 and 2021. They said that the first use of this technology was in 1978. And they found that they followed them for many, many years. Even within 3 years of the first pregnancy, this was the same. Within many, many, it was unchanged along length of time, across types of reproductive technology, a length of follow-up. It was all unchanged. About 20% of women were able to get pregnant naturally for their second child or their subsequent children if they'd had the first, when they'd had the first child via IVF. Why would this be? Well, and by the way, I should emphasise that this infertility is defined as the inability to get pregnant after a year of regular sex. But half of couples who fail in that regard are able to get pregnant naturally in the second year. So if they just go on for a little bit longer, they still get pregnant. So therefore, naturally. So why is it then that we're seeing this? Why is it that 20% of women who you would presume are just infertile and have some kind of serious problem are able to get, can't get pregnant naturally the first time, but get pregnant naturally all other times? Well, one possibility that the authors argue is that artificial reproductive technology is simply more available. It's more available, it's more socially acceptable. When it first came along in the mid-80s or whatever, people were talking about Frankenstein babies and God knows what, and they were very, very concerned about it. And now it's become socially acceptable, it's become much cheaper, it's become much easier. So what this means is that people who really aren't that infertile, people who have sub-infertility, people who if they kept trying for 2 or 3 years, they would get pregnant naturally. Those people, in the old days, they would have kept trying for 2 or 3 years and they would have got pregnant naturally. Now, they try for a year, they haven't been able to get pregnant, they go to a doctor and they get IVF. Now, it of course follows, just by the sort of the laws of chance, really, that they are less likely to have a problem with subsequent pregnancies. So it's just because the people that are having IVF and whatever are essentially less infertile than was the case before, because before it was unacceptable, it was expensive, it was difficult, and so this meant that you would only go for IVF if you were really desperate. But now you've been trying for absolutely ages, but now people will just try for a year, they can't get pregnant naturally, they'll go for IVF. That's the first reason. The second possibility is that IVF stimulates the ovaries, and this may improve ovary function subsequently after you've had IVF. So it means that after you've had the IVF, the female's ovaries have been stimulated heavily, and this continues subsequent to the IVF, and this means it is much easier for them to get pregnant when they are trying for a child after having had IVF. The third possibility is that pregnancy, pregnancy itself induces endocrinal changes in the woman. In particular, it causes the regression of endometriosis. Now, endometriosis, which is one of the main causes of infertility in women. And so obviously, if pregnancy reduces endometriosis, it's going to mean that you are more likely to be able to get pregnant on all subsequent occasions. So again, this is another reason why women who have a cycle of IVF will then be more able to get pregnant subsequently, if the issue is itself endometriosis. Another hypothesis is stress reduction. If people are stressed, women are stressed, it's interfering with their hormones and whatever, and it's known that this means they are less able to get pregnant. I know a case, for example, of a couple that were trying for years and years and years to get pregnant, and they lived in very stressful living conditions in many ways, and they moved to a different property, and very quickly they got pregnant. So stress reduction will mean it's easier for women to get pregnant. So it can be argued that you are stressed about the fact that you were not able to get pregnant, and you have not been able to have a child. This makes you incredibly stressed and unhappy, and therefore, you know, you're less able to have a child. You have the IVF, you've got your child, you're feeling happy, you're less stressed, and therefore, you are more likely to get pregnant naturally on other occasions. Now, there were some studies that disagreed with this. Some studies found that that stress was not a factor. But it didn't seem to make any difference that whether women were stressed or not. But overall, the direction of the meta-analysis of these studies was that it seems to be that it's reduction in stress caused by having had a child, which means that subsequently you're not so worried about not being able to get pregnant or whatever if you're trying for a second child, and so you get pregnant. So I thought that was very, very interesting and was worth sharing. If you've been born via IVF or whatever, please do comment. I'm very interested in this subject because I've done a video on IVF before, and I take the view that IVF involves developmental instability because it is not natural to get pregnant via IVF. You're taking a sperm that is healthy, it's moving about or whatever, it's healthy, but it's not necessarily the one in half a billion sperm that will get through the woman's immune system, and you're impregnating her with that, and so potentially you're causing developmental instability. This is not the best sperm. It may be higher in things like autism or psychopathology or whatever. And if this is combined with high intelligence, and it seems to be more intelligent people more like to go for IVF, then you might get what is the genius, as I've looked at before, it's outlier high intelligence combined with basically psychopathology, autism, ADHD, developmental instability. And these things are higher, there's some evidence for, in IVF children. So I have this theory that as we get more and more IVF children growing up, we will see more and more significant movers and shakers in the world of science, the world of politics, or whatever, that are born via IVF. My theory is they will be overrepresented in the same way that people born prematurely are overrepresented due to developmental instability and other facts I've looked at. So if you're born via IVF, I'd be very interested in your comments. Anyway, I hope this is a bit of interest, and goodbye.
Would you like to move beyond a Boomer in Spirit delivering content from his cellar? What about a Boomer in Spirit delivering content into a drone? Tally-ho! How? By supporting the Jolly Heretic Experience, and specifically our upcoming documentary on intelligence and the future of civilization. We will take a trip to the world of the future. Action, adventure, and of course, based science. We will present all of the evidence that intelligence is behind the rise and fall of civilization. Along the way, we will trigger academics, befriend ghetto dwellers, and travel to strange and dangerous places. In fact, we might not come back alive!
You may ask where all the money goes. There's a lot. There's travel expenses, there's transport, there's my crew. I can't do it all by myself. I mean, after all, I've been locked in a basement for the last 4 years.
So prove your dissident status with money. Stop virtue signaling, put your money where your mouth is, and become a paid subscriber. It was never this cheap to save the world, or at least watch it burn in 4K. And if you have really deep pockets, then why not become a founding member of our Substack? For $500 a year, you'll get your name in all of the credits of all our documentaries, and you'll even get a phone call with the landlord himself.